Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on the 17th day of April, 2024. I am thrilled to have not only a first-time guest on the show today, but also a returning guest who is actually going to be serving as my co-host. And my guest today, for the very first time, is Devin Crawford. He is an open-air evangelist, and he is going to be addressing one man's journey out from the clutches of the occult and into the saving embrace of Christ Jesus. And first of all, let me welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Devin Crawford.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's an honor to be on here.
And joining us as my co-host today is Devin's pastor, Jeremy Brandenburg, who is the pastor of Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And welcome back to the program, Pastor Jeremy.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me back on.
And let me, right off the bat, give our listeners our email address. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And since we are discussing the occult today, it is very likely that people may have very personal and private questions about their own experiences in the occult. Perhaps they have a loved one enslaved in the occult, or whatever the case may be, that would compel them to remain anonymous when asking a question. We will honor your quest, but please, if it's just a general question, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Well, first of all, Devin, why don't you, before we get the ball rolling with your personal testimony, why don't you tell our listeners about a new book you have written titled Prayers, Proverbs, and Meditations from My New Life in Jesus?
Okay. I compiled this book from about 2.5 years of me writing personal prayers, proverbs, and meditations. And a lot of it has to do with struggles or surrendering to Christ or illuminating and purifying us and how it is to be a new believer in Christ and the battles that you face and the war that you wage within of your old nature and your new nature. I focus a lot on how Christ ransomed me and how he changed the darkness that was once inside of me into the light. Most of it can relate to any believer. I also, in the back of the book, included what converted me, which was a gospel track, and that should be just an encouragement to anyone that hands out gospel tracks. Even the one that I found was alongside the road crumbled up, so even the ones that get thrown out or blown in the wind definitely can be used providentially by God.
And if anybody is interested in getting a hold of this book, you can go to Amazon and type in Devin Crawford, and Devin spells his first name D-E-V-I-N, And this book will come up, Prayers, Proverbs, and Meditations for My New Life in Jesus. And also, Pastor Jeremy, if you could briefly describe Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Redeemer OPC is located at 101 Petersburg Road, and we are, I'm going through Ephesians right now, and we're rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, Chris. And when you come to Redeemer, you're going to have traditional worship, you're going to have the preaching of God's word, you're going to have a warm welcome, and we welcome anyone and everyone to come hear the good news of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm so glad. I think you're making me think back to the first time I saw Devin at church, and I thought it was within the first couple of months, and I thought, who is this young guy? Because we were at church with a lot of wonderful older folks whom I love, and whom six of whom have gone into glory. And I love our older folks, but I love our younger folks too. And I think I even remember talking to mutual friends of all of ours, Charlie and Terry Liebert, and saying, who's this young guy? I need to go talk to him. And it's Devin.
And the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, the Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. More details can be found out about this church at their website, RedeemerOPC.org, RedeemerOPC.org. And so, Devin, whenever I have a first-time guest in the program, that guest will give a summary of their salvation testimony, regardless of what the main topic we are going to address will be. But in your case, the whole show is really, in one form or another, your personal testimony. And if you could start off with describing how you were raised in any kind of religious atmosphere, if any, in which you were raised, and how you, unfortunately and tragically, got drawn into the occult.
Okay, yeah. When I was growing up, we never... I don't think I've ever been to church with my parents. And it wasn't like my parents were totally opposed to God, especially my mother. My mother went to a Christian school, and it's not like she stuck with it. It's she definitely strayed away or backslid or however you want to view it. Her relationship now, because I keep pressing on her about Christ and what he's done for us, you know, she is growing with the Lord. I can tell through her messages, what she says, stuff like that. But while I was growing up, I do recall going to youth group and stuff with some friends from school, but you know, I always made a mockery about it. I thought it was a joke, you know. I was very rebellious and living against the Lord, even at a really young age. And then in high school, I was dating this girl for 2 years, and she was a believer, quote unquote, during the time. And they took me to church and stuff and shared the gospel with me. It never really stuck because it didn't seem like she was really living for the Lord.
Well, that would have been that would have been made clear by the fact she was dating you.
Yeah, I was definitely a bad influence and a heathen during the time. I was causing a lot of chaos in not only my own life, but in her life. But I do believe that she planted a seed in my life. And I did reach out to her recently and sent her a lengthy email about how God changed me. And I hope it touches her heart. But you know, I was still living in rebellion, and I was going through phases during high school, and I was very depressed and always felt this weight of darkness over me. And then during high school, I got introduced into a lot of drugs.
Can you explain any reasons that you're aware of? And by the way, I think you should move your microphone farther away from your headphones because I'm echoing back.
Okay.
Can you explain any reasons that you're aware of any way, that were at root in your depression and the dark feelings that you had and so on?
It's hard to put a marker on exactly what, but I don't know. I just felt like life was meaningless, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And maybe because of, you know, certain things I experienced or trauma or this or that, I would definitely put that into account. And even just the things that I was doing when I was younger, you know, were really wicked things. So I would say that definitely influenced me in terms of being depressed. And then during high school, I got introduced into a lot of drugs. I would leave class and go to the bathroom and do drugs, and I would get high before getting on the bus, and, you know, I was living it up, so to speak.
Can you mention what kind of drugs you were doing?
Yeah, in the bathrooms, I was snorting pills. I was smoking pot before getting on the bus. You know, I was doing all kinds of stuff. Anything under the sun you can name. And then after I got out of high school, I got into harder drugs, particularly methamphetamines. And at that point, I just wanted to end my life, and I was seeking for a purpose, and I started getting into divination. This was my last year of high school.
And please define that. Please define that for us.
Divination?
Yes.
Well, there's many different forms, but particularly manifestation, you know, a lot of the new age practices that are being practiced nowadays by my generation, generations below me, or it's just a lot of mysticism, or people are collecting crystals or all kinds of different weird stuff. But particularly in my case, I sought out a medium, you know, to see into my future. I was interpreting dreams. I had dreams and stuff, and I was interpreting them, and I got into a lot of stuff, and I was manifesting with numbers, numerology.
Now, what do you mean by manifesting with numbers?
It's hard to explain.
You mean,
but
these things would appear to you visually, at least in your mind, these numbers?
They would appear. If I was driving, I would see the numbers on a stop sign, or if I woke up at a certain time, I would wake up at a certain time, and the clock would, my mind, something would tell me to look at the clock at that particular time, and it would be a repeating number. And in 2005, one thing important to note, in 2005, Dorian Virtue is the one who kind of invented angel numbers, and I also have a testimony on her YouTube channel, Dorian Virtue, Teen Saved from the New Age. If you type that into YouTube, you'll be able to find it, which goes more into depth on angel numbers. But yeah, I would just see them repeating on certain stuff if I go online, or you know, it's kind of like a neurological manipulation where you think something's, you're interpreting something out of something, but it really, really has no power over your life. You're the one that's surrendering yourself to it because you believe it.
And how were you, if you don't mind stepping backwards a little bit, how were you first introduced specifically to this whole world of the New Age and the occult?
I really would want to say through social media and mutual friends. and just online stuff, and then I got into it, and I was looking for a purpose outside of myself, and I was trying to find meaning to life, you know, apart from me. And it's very easy nowadays to get attracted into something that's apart from yourself. And that, I feel like that's what really drawed me into it was people in social media that I was acquainted to or knew from high school or
any.
So yeah, I would say that, Chris.
Any specific books or videos or music that further drew you, sucked you into this whole mindset?
Absolutely. It's definitely integrated into a lot of music. It's integrated into a lot of music for sure. I was particularly listening to a lot of secular music and explicit music, and yeah, it's definitely integrated into that, or certain television programs, or anything that involves the new age, yoga, this, that, you know, a lot of Chinese philosophies are into manifestation, like the yin and yang, this and that, you know. So a lot of that stuff drew me in.
And did this, now I don't want anybody to misunderstand me when I say, did this, at least in your mind, help you to put behind you thoughts of suicide? I mean, were you thinking, wow, this is really helping my outlook in life, this is making me happier, this is, or was it making you more suicidal?
It definitely wasn't helping me in the right ways. I mean, it's kind of like it was stringing me along.
Right.
It definitely wasn't fulfilling the deep desire that I had down in my heart that I needed. And, you know, there's certain experiences that I had doing this stuff, like the divination. I had demonic encounters after contacting that medium.
And explain that in detail. Demonic
one encounter. Night, I woke up and I kept hearing my name being called, whispered to me. And it sent chills down my spine. I was terrified. I grabbed the Bible because I was staying at my grandparents' house because I got kicked out of my house for doing drugs. My parents' house. And I saw this figure appear to me while I had the Bible in my hand, because I was hearing my name being whispered to me, and it was freaking me out. And I thought it was my brother. They were all sleeping. My grandparents were sleeping. My brother was sleeping, because I double checked and I was still being called out. And I remember seeing this figure while I was on the couch, and it reached out its hand to me, and I never reached out. Something in my mind was telling me, maybe this is a dead relative, or maybe this is an angel, you know, because I'm into the quote-unquote angel numbers. But I didn't reach out my hand. I remember running outside with the Bible and opening it up and reading and reading and reading. And I slept in the car. It was really cold outside too. So I was thinking I could escape, you know, when really deep down inside, I wasn't sealed by the Holy Spirit yet. Anything could happen, you know?
Right.
I wasn't protected. Maybe in a general providential sense, God was protecting me, because I can't recall of any times of possession itself, but yeah, this really awoken my mind that there is darkness, that there is demons, that the war isn't against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and dark forces. Like, these are real things that we're facing that the Christian church needs to be aware of, that it's not just against flesh and blood that we're waging war against. And this really opened my mind that God exists, because if evil exists, then God exists. And
now,
can you be
a little bit more descriptive of what you were seeing? Was this as clear as somebody, as if Pastor Jeremy was visiting you in your living room and you could see him clearly like a human being standing in front of you? Or is it more of a, for lack of a better term, ghostly apparition, transparent, or something?
Transparent, absolutely.
And you're certain it was nothing that could be explained away by a trick on the eyes? Like for instance...
Oh, I'm sure that any atheist would explain my symptoms away as a schizophrenic episode of auditory and visual hallucinations.
What, like I had, my heart leapt into my throat recently when I was walking down the hallway of my apartment and saw a man standing in my studio where I'm sitting right now. And what it turned out to be was my own coat on my chair with my sneakers right at the bottom of the chair. So,
okay, yeah.
So, I mean, is there any, you're certain that nothing could be explained away by things like that, light and shadows and that kind of thing playing tricks on your mind?
Okay, yeah. I would direct people to this. It's broad, you know, I had the lamp on right next to me, and it's only 5 feet away from me, and then it comes closer to maybe 1 foot away with its hand. So, and it was a figure that looked like a human being, and, you know, I would describe it as something that masquerades as an angel of light, because it looked like an angel, but it was in human form, and it was transparent. It's really hard to explain.
And since you're saying it looked like an angel, in your mind, it wasn't scary looking.
It was a surreal experience, and I was terrified.
Even the biblical description, when people saw angels, they were terrified. But I meant more of a stereotypical image that people have in their minds when they think.
No, it wasn't no baby cherub with a bow and arrow with the hearts on it.
or even a Swedish-looking, slightly effeminate person with wings or whatever.
Right, yeah. It looked like a human figure.
And no offense meant towards Swedes. I don't mean to imply that you're effeminate-looking. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to our first commercial break, and I want you to pick up where you left off there. And then perhaps even Pastor Jeremy, your pastor, has a question or two of his own when you're finished telling that portion of your story. And if anybody has any questions of your own, once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LYNbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit RoyalDiadem.com. That's RoyalDiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And amazingly, on top of the monthly financial support that RoyalDiadem.com already provides for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, on top of that, they are continuing to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry, no matter how large, to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, simply by a listener mentioning that they heard about RoyalDiadem.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you do that, we will get 100% of the profits. And so if you are looking for a perfect gift for someone you love, or maybe you even want to buy jewelry for yourself, whether it's jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or perhaps it's something that you want custom designed and created, a one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry, like an engagement ring, or taking your church logo, perhaps, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or whatever else your creativity and imagination can conjure up in your brain. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. And I have seen firsthand the absolute mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over custom designing jewelry. So whatever the case may be, if you are interested in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today, at least to get the ball rolling, even if you're not making your final purchase today, at least to start things in motion. Please go to RoyalDiadem.com today, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer to us, where we receive 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Devin Crawford, and we are discussing his journey out from the clutches of the occult and into the saving embrace of Christ Jesus. We also have as my co-host his pastor at the Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Jeremy Brandenburg. And if you have questions of your own, submit them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. But if you could pick up where you left off, Devin, on this manifestation of some kind of an entity that appeared to you in your home one night, and pick it up from there.
Okay. I'd like to jump back real quick on divination. A good biblical example is with Moses.
You went blank there, Devin. Did you click mute or something?
And him throwing his rod down.
Okay.
And it turning into a snake.
Right.
And the magicians throwing their rods down, and Moses is ultimately eating
right
the magician's snake. Or with the plagues, how they replicated the plagues, but it can only go so far on what God allowed.
Right. With Moses, the miracles were real, and with the sorcerers, they were fake.
It could have been an interpretation of illusion, yeah.
Okay.
Just so people have a better right. Okay. Understanding. Yeah, back to the paranormal encounter. Yeah, I recall sitting on the couch and this thing calling out to me. And, you know, I was being drawn into a lot of different teachings, Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah. And I wasn't deeply into it, but I recall studying the quote-unquote tree of life that they have.
By the way, I had peach Kabbalah yesterday. It was delicious. I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm sorry. Hello.
I recall being drawn into certain teachings, particularly Jewish mysticism and New Age stuff, and even I was curious to get into Freemasonry and a lot of the symbolism that's there,
right?
And numerology and. You know, I was dispensational during the time, and
you mean you were professing Christian when this was going on?
No, not necessarily, but I was trying to understand the end, and you know, it deeply terrified me because I read it from a literal point of view, and I recall. My grandfather listening to a guy on like a televangelist, not anything like Joel Osteen, but this guy definitely had a lot of, he had one false teaching that I can, tell you guys about. It's the serpent seed doctrine.
Oh yeah. I've heard of that. It's a very rare Calvinist, hyper Calvinist view
where Eve slept with the serpent, right. And that's how Cain came about,
right.
Which is a false teaching. And that's how people were divided between the sheep and the goats,
right.
Or the good and the evil.
Right.
Definitely a false teaching. Doesn't necessarily, it's not a salvific teaching I want per se, but definitely not a direction on where you need to be viewing people.
And a very tiny percentage of people in the 21st century believe in this.
Right. And because of my lack of understanding, you know, this including my own looking into Revelation and studying the end, and I was fearing God's judgment. And you know, I was afraid because of you know, the things that it says about the wicked or about the judgment that's to come and everything else. I felt very condemned. You know, and I kind of just wanted to end my life because of all the guilt and shame of my past sins, of my past life. And during this encounter, it terrified me and it drove me to seek out God, to pray to God. And
so that was a Romans 8:28 situation where even though this was demonic, God used it to drive you to himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Providentially. I would go so far to say that there is in one sense a satanic providence, but God is ultimately sovereign over it.
Yes.
With his providence. Stephen Charnock, I really recommend Divine Providence by Stephen Charnock. That is an excellent book for any Christian.
Mm-hmm. I know that he's one of the great heroes of the Reformed faith.
Yeah, he actually dives into a chapter, and I can't recall what chapter. I'm like 125 pages in. I really can't recall what chapter, but he talks about satanic providence in one sense, or dark providence, he also calls it. And I think God used that to draw me closer to him. You know, the demonic forces were definitely influencing me and trying to teach me the so-called dark arts. It's really just a bunch of biblical concepts that are twisted.
And are rituals involved? Ouija boards? A book of spells of any kind? What are specific?
I never got involved in anything like that. Particularly my main involvements were Kabbalah and angel numbers and interpreting dreams and lucid dreaming and, you know, trying to reach that God status or whatever you want to call it. Usually New Age is all about self-centeredness and the God in you. So it's kind of like the universe is speaking to you, a lot of people will say, in the New Age.
And before I go on to allow Pastor Jeremy to ask a question, is there anything that you're aware of in your thought process or activities that were specifically connected to the possibility of, quote, quote, conjuring up this manifestation? Was it something that totally shocked you that you weren't expecting, or is it actually the result of something that you were hoping would happen in some way?
Usually, yeah, it has to deal with your hopes, aspirations, and dreams, and you focus on them and they come into your life, but it's kind of like sick and twisted in terms of what you really want, you don't really get. I would say that God was withholding the demonic forces from granting my desires, because there was plenty of opportunities that Satan provided for me to do things that God, looking back now, I know that God thwarted. So yeah, it's definitely has to do with your thought patterns or the way you're thinking, or, I mean, kind of, if you look at Joel Osteen, he kind of teaches this about living your best life now.
Well, I know that the Word of Faith movement in general is very, even though it's unconscious, at least with most people, I'm sure, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, it connected to the occult, because they do things very similar, like creating reality through their words, almost as if declaring the name of Jesus becomes a spell of some kind. And things positively developing in your life, whether financially or through your health, all have to do with things that you declare. And that's why the Word of Faith people are told never say bad or gloomy or depressing things, because by saying them, you're going to manifest them in your life, that kind of thing. But Pastor Jeremy, you have a question of your own?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Chris. So, Devin, at this point, were you working when all of this stuff was happening, or what were you doing, you know, outside of all the bad things you were doing? And also, you mentioned when you had this experience that you had the Bible. Where did you get the Bible?
Okay. During this point, I was in my last year of school, and I went cyber, you know, because I hated school during the time. And I got kicked out. I moved in with my grandparents and stayed there. And my grandfather obviously is listening to this televangelist that teaches this false serpent seed doctrine. And he's very dispensational.
By the way, who was that televangelist? Because that's like a very unusual and rare belief, at least in our day and age.
Chapel Point Ministries. I don't know the name of the minister.
Not to be affiliated with the Chapel Point Nursing Home in Carlisle.
Yeah. I don't know the name of the minister. I can't think of his name.
Okay. I was just curious because hardly anybody knows, even Calvinists don't even know about that, and it is it has its roots in hyper-Calvinism.
Right. I've talked to a lot of people about it. A lot of people are like, what is that? But during the time I wasn't working, I was going to school and kind of like getting high all the time outside of doing my schoolwork. And, you know, they're in school, they're teaching you about psychology and all these worldly things. And then on my spare time, I was just studying New Age practices and you know, diving into the cultic stuff online. And in some direction, I feel like there was demonic forces providing these resources or directing me in some way to instructions on the so-called dark arts. But the Bible my grandfather had, and then I ended up finding his grandmother's Bible, and that's how I got introduced to it. And you know, my grandfather's very dispensational as well, so it kind of struck fear into me, and I wanted to like learn more. But during the time, I could tell you, I was not sealed with the Holy Spirit. I was very fearful of judgment, and I felt like God was distant and angry. And I was really ashamed of my sins. I mean, I couldn't tell you. I cried for weeks, probably, of weeping. I could probably fill a swimming pool with all the tears that I cried because of how full of shame and guilt I felt. That it would not surprise me that the enemy was whispering into my ear in one way or another of the guilt and the just condemnation that I deserved during that time.
And Pastor Jeremy, do you have another question? And it will require either a short answer or Devin continuing the answer after we go to our midway break, because we only got about 5 minutes right now before the midway break.
Yeah, I'm also curious, Devin, if you can think back to when you started to pray, when you started to, you know, you're looking into all these dark things and this, you know, pagan spirituality. When did you, in your heart of hearts, begin to say, you know, God, just help me or something like that? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was like a day after that demonic encounter with seeing that figure. I remember getting down on my knees and asking the Lord to protect me from the evil one, because I knew this, something inside of me knew that this thing was not a dead relative or an angel. And I just got down on my knees, and I'm telling you, the presence of that, whatever that evil is, was there when I was praying. And, you know, I was having a lot of thoughts, intrusive thoughts, but I remember getting down on my knees like a day afterwards and just praying God for protection and mercy. And
before we go to the break, this is just out of my own curiosity, because of something that the son of the woman who led me to Christ, the son who is not yet a born-again believer, but I believe is being drawn. He was startled and awakened one morning, according to his story, with a manifestation of the figure of a man, but inside the outline of what would be, you know, the human body, the head, the neck, the torso, the legs, everything looked like static that you would see in a television set that had lost connection with the cable system or something. Did it look anything like that, where it was static? I'm just curious, because that's what he saw.
Exactly like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's creepy. Well, that gives more credibility.
It terrified me, Chris. It terrified me.
Yeah, it terrified this young man as well. And I just want to mention something. I usually mention this on my show when we are discussing anything in this realm, because of all Christians, Reformed people will typically be the most skeptical of any of this being true. I have to remind my listeners who are Reformed, especially, or even inform them if they've never heard this before, that one of our modern day heroes, well, at least in the mid 20th century, he had his ministry. A.W. Pink is hardly a Reformed person in the world that doesn't know about and love the writings of A.W. Pink, and who has not benefited from his teachings. But A.W. Pink was involved in the occult before he became a Christian. Mm-hmm. And he said that he witnessed and experienced things that could not be explained away by parlor tricks, that he believed were genuine manifestations of Satan and his minions. And not the tricks of charlatans, or even natural tricks that things play upon our eyes and minds, just because we're misinterpreting something that we're seeing because of light and shadow and so on. So I just wanted to let our listeners know that. And you could get from the Banner of Truth the biography of A.W. Pink by Ian Murray, and that is in there. I just thought I'd throw that out there, because I'm sure, and I'll bet you, Pastor Jeremy, you are aware of this, that Reformed people tend to be overly skeptical about this, because the charismatic and Pentecostal world overemphasize this stuff to the point where, you know, people are making stuff up, and a lot of it is. Lies of charlatans when they bring up things like this. But would you concur that that's your experience with a Reformed response typically?
Yeah, I think, if you look at Reformed theologians historically, there is a solid awareness of the demonic realm and the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. But I think because we tend to be more academically oriented, there can be, even if it's not a direct even if it's not intentional, there can kind of be a de-emphasis of the fact that, yeah, we're not just material. We're living in a world that is we're surrounded by the supernatural. I mean, that we don't talk about angels a lot either, but there's things that are very explicit throughout Scripture about the presence of angels and the fact that the angels are involved in the salvation of believers. They're messengers sent to bring the good news. So yeah, we should be mindful of that and say everything the Scripture says about all that the Scripture says.
We have to go to our midway break. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Armson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And allow me to recommend a book available through solid-ground-books.com that is very reflective of our conversation today. Frederick Leahy, the late Frederick Leahy, was a prolific writer, and solid-ground-books.com has a 5-pack of his books available for a discount price. One of the 5 books by Frederick Leahy is Satan Cast Out, and there are all kinds of matters discussed involving the activity of Satan in this book. And, of course, this is just one of 5 books that you'll get. If you type in Leahy in the search engine, L-E-A-H-Y, at solid-groundishbooks.com, you can also type in the word Satan, S-A-T-A-N, and these offers will come up. Please, folks, keep in mind solid-groundishbooks.com is an invaluable financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So, if you really love the show and you want to keep it on the air, patronize our advertisers as often as possible. And you can't go wrong with solid-groundishbooks.com because they bring back into print lost treasures of the past, even dating as far back as the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And they also bring into print new books for the very first time by such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-groundishbooks.com frequently. Purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please visit solid-ground-books.com today. And if you've never purchased from them before, make today your very first purchase. And even if you purchase from them already frequently, make today your largest purchase than ever before if you can afford to do so. That's solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to our interview today with Devin Crawford and his pastor, Jeremy Brandenburg of Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, as we discuss Devin's journey out from the occult and into the embrace, the saving embrace of Christ Jesus, we just have a couple of more important announcements to make. Folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, the old-fashioned way, mailing a physical check to a physical address at your post office, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I want to also remind you, I never want anybody in my audience to give less money to your own church where you are a member in order to give Iron Sharp and Zion Radio a financial gift. Please never do that. In other words, don't cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless Iron Sharp and Zion Radio financially. Don't do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send Iron Sharp and Zion Radio a financial gift. The Bible is very clear. We are commanded to use the money primarily with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're primarily to use it to provide for our church and our family. Providing for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio is not a command, obviously. But if you love the show and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you really want us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, and that could be you too if you are without a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church home. If that is the case, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Devin Crawford as we continue our conversation on the journey out of the occult that he experienced into the saving embrace of Christ Jesus. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Let me go to one listener question before we continue on with our conversation. We have Amanda in Copeg, Long Island, New York. And Amanda wants to know, was either a worship of Satan or things that can be identified as satanic ritual or activity ever a part of your occultic experience?
Yeah, I would say so. During high school, I remember a friend bringing in one of the satanic Bibles. I never got involved in terms of reading it. It's very man-centered and humanistic, at least modern-day Satanism. But actual Satan worship, no. I was, during the time, I was kind of a nihilist.
Yeah, like being... Anton LaVey, the author of the Satanic Bible, didn't even believe Satan existed.
His false religion was
self-worship.
Right. But I did get involved through social media with a girl that I knew in high school that, you know, she was doing rituals and seances and practicing stuff like that. But God prevented
me. You keep cutting out. I don't know why, Devin. Are you there?
One other thing I did want to mention. If you guys do support Chris Arntzen, he's not asking you to sow a seed of faith of $5,000. he's very faithful, and he uses his money wisely, and it is to a good cause to get the gospel out there and to proclaim the truth and solidly grounded churches. So we do appreciate that, Chris.
Yes, and of course, $5,000 is chump change. I'm looking for like $10,000. I'm only kidding. So, Pastor Jeremy, you have another question, a follow-up question to ask?
Well, yeah, I think it'd be good to hear how we've heard a lot about the darkness. I want to hear, I think a lot of people probably want to hear about the light. How did you, Devin, what was the step? So you said you after that experience that was really haunting and terrifying, then you prayed. So how were you led to the Lord? How did you meet Christ?
It's kind of like an uphill and downhill battle. I recall one of my friends experiencing the same forms of divination with numerology, and I reached out to him. And he invited me to his family's church. It was a Lutheran church. And I ended up attending there for a while. And I ended up getting baptized there. And then I remember like a week after the demonic encounter, I went to this party that I got invited to, you know, because I'm not really solidly rooted yet. And I got plastered and probably high. I got really high and plastered drunk, and there was a lot of fighting at the party. Just to sum it up quickly, I remember people getting kicked out, and there was a lot of fighting, and I remember slamming a table down. Then I got thrown out of the party, and it's like 2 or 3 a.m. You know, I was drinking all night from like 9 o'clock, and I remember stumbling home in the pitch black, and something, it's like this circle where my grandparents live. And I remember walking around, it's probably about a quarter mile, and maybe about 500 to 600 feet outside after getting kicked out. I remember walking along the embankment, and there's a ditch, and something told me to pick this piece of paper up. And
Devin, you keep cutting out. I don't know if you're aware of that. I cannot hear you, Devin. Jeremy, are you there?
Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who do not know me. I am not distant and angry, but then am the complete expression of love. It is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I will meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your trouble. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love so that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Christ, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father and will always be father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. So that's the track that I picked up, and it opened my eyes about how God is not distant and angry, and how he is the full expression of love, and how he wants to reconcile my relationship with him. And it changed how I viewed God. Like I previously stated, I felt like God was distant and angry, and he was often misrepresented by those who didn't know him and by the world. And I was weeping as I read this letter, because it really shows the intimacy of the Trinitarian God that we serve.
Now, did you say that was a tract that was given to you?
It wasn't given to me. It was crumbled up like someone threw it out into the ditch, all muddy, and I picked it up.
Wow. Wow. That's...
Providentially, it was there, and something told me to pick it up.
Wow. That is amazing, because most people, and probably even you, wouldn't even bother to pick up a crumpled up, wet piece of paper to read it. And there you have it.
Right.
I would like to know... not only how you got a continuing description of how you got drawn to Christ, but also specifically Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle and the Reformed faith. Did you discover the Reformed faith before visiting Redeemer OPC, or was that something that you learned about after you visited there and joined there?
Okay, yeah. After this letter thing, I was continuing to go to that Lutheran church, and I ended up moving back in with my parents in Elliottsburg, Perry County. And I was seeking out another church, and I ended up getting mixed in with, believe it or not, Jehovah's Witnesses, not knowing any better of the doctrines that they teach, the false doctrines of the divinity of Christ and many other false teachings that they teach. And until I was revealed that by whatever revelation they speak whenever they have their worship services, I stopped going there and started studying, and I really wrestled with the divinity of Christ for probably about a few weeks. And then I found Ligonier stuff while doing my research, and I was out of a church for probably around a year, maybe a year and a half. And I was just studying Ligonier series, R.C. Sproul, John Gerstner, pretty much anyone that's on Ligonier. I would come home after work, and I would spend a good 3 hours just listening and studying and reading. And so that's how I got introduced to the Reformed faith. And then I found out about Banner of Truth, which I'm very grateful for them. And I reached out to them on Instagram and asked them for a solid church. And they recommended like three churches in the area, one of them being Redeemer OPC. And I decided to start going to Redeemer. And it was during COVID, and I ended up actually getting kicked out of my house because my parents were very adamant about COVID and not being out around others, and I disobeyed my parents by going out, but I needed to get into a solid church and be obedient to the Lord. And so I moved in with my lesbian aunt and her girlfriend. And they allowed me to go to church, and I've been going there ever since. Jeremy, when did you start ministering at Redeemer?
February 2021.
So it was around that time that I joined the church. It wasn't very long after that that I started attending, rather. And I got to minister to my aunt and share the gospel with her, you know, warn her of, you know, the wrath to come if she continues to live in her homosexuality. It was a battle living there. It's just not easy whenever you live with people that are adamantly expressing their sin in such ways. But I got to share the gospel with her, and I ended up moving out of there because it's not ideal, but it's better to be in a church and be allowed to go to church than to not be in a church, regardless of your situation. I'm sure there's people that are in situations where you have to do what you have to do for the moment. But God definitely helped me grow in my relationship with him, in my defense of sin, in my battle against sin, and Redeemer has helped me a lot, and I've grown and developed a lot of friendships and relationships and discipleships and mentors, and I'm really grateful for everything that the church has brought.
By the way, I want to remind, or I should say inform, Amanda in Copeg, Long Island, who submitted a question earlier. You have won a free copy of Devin Crawford's book, Prayers, Proverbs, and Meditations from My Life, from My New Life in Jesus. And perhaps before we forget to do this and run out of time before we ever do it, do you have your book handy? Because I'd like you to read at least one meditation from this book, perhaps even Like a River, Oh My Love Letter. Or your love letter. If you don't have that handy, we'll have Jeremy ask you a question right away.
Yeah, I have it handy.
Okay. Why don't you read Like a River?
I'll read My Love Letter.
Okay.
God, you're the upholder of all things. Through your voice, everything obeys. The Lord, you create by command. Your providence is a reminder how I can truly rest in your chambers, Lord. The comfort that is intricately working for your will, Lord. Even the devils are bound by chains, and Satan is bound by your hand. You are the keeper of all things, the God of wisdom, the God of love and mercy. You, Lord, had favor and mercy on my soul. You redeemed me from my bondages, from my spiritual blindness. You, Lord, are truly redemptive. Lord, all who have truly been saved, rejoice in you, Lord. Do you understand how grateful we, who were once oppressed by the enemy's malignant scepter, are? Surely I know you do, omniscient one. Lord, you broke all my chains of oppression. Lord, you remind me how deeply you love me, and you remind me how significant I am. I love you, Father, friend, master. May I be a slave of righteousness. May I be a righteous son. May I be a faithful friend. May I be a faithful bride. I long for you, my true love, my beloved.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. Let's see. We do have another listener. We have Titus in Washington, Pennsylvania. And Titus says, this is more of a question for Pastor Jeremy. I was wondering if you believe that those who are already born again can experience things like Devin experienced before he was saved. And I'm assuming I think he must be talking about the manifestations and stuff like that. I know that you and I would never believe that a true Christian can be demon possessed, but to what extent can we be oppressed and haunted and taunted, and can it ever involve anything like
that? Can I?
Oh yeah, you could start. Go ahead.
I would recommend reading the book of Job. I mean, I don't think that we'll ever experience the anguish that Job experienced in terms of demonic oppression, but I do believe that it can actively happen in a Christian's life, and I'll leave it up to you, Jeremy, to...
Yeah, in the case of Job, though, he never saw Satan, to my knowledge, though. It was God that had the dialogue with Satan.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, it's good to think about what the scripture says. And, you know, it's kind of remarkable when you look at it's really interesting to look at the Gospels. And I think we kind of fool ourselves to think that the demonic world, just because we don't experience it in the same way. And I do believe there was a heightened level of activity from the demonic realm when Christ was on earth, obviously. But the Apostle Paul talks about believers, you're not thinking rightly. If we're not anticipating the devil's attacks, if we're not anticipating the schemes of the evil one, I don't think, obviously, no Christian who has the Holy Spirit can be possessed by a demon, as you said. But Paul says, I have a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Whom God has permitted to oppress him. So I think believers can be oppressed, but I think as far as the actual experience Devin had, yeah, I don't know. I can't really speak to that. I would say that to me it's unlikely, and I don't see any biblical support for believers having that kind of an experience of a demonic presence, if that makes sense.
Now, what do you think, since you and I revere as a hero of our faith, Martin Luther, what do you think about his descriptions of being harassed by Satan? I mean, I don't know if he was using hyperbole and poetic language and so on, but he threw an inkwell at Satan, according to his own story, because of the harassment of the devil. Do you think that these stories of his were actual visits by Satan, or was he was it tricks of the eye and mind? Was it just a highly exaggerated hyperbolic account? You know, do you have any idea on that? Not that Luther is binding like the inerrant God-breathed words of Scripture, but it is somebody that we tend to highly esteem as a hero of our faith, even though we are not Lutherans or Calvinists. But what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that's interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure what to say to that. I think, as of my own personal experiences, that there is you know, it's not, it is an inward oppression. It's an oppression of the mind. I think all believers should realize that they're under attack from Satan when they're, you know, exposed to the terrible temptations. And so just because you haven't had an experience like Devin doesn't mean that you shouldn't realize that when you have evil thoughts confront you that kind of just come out of the blue, that's demonic. And Satan is active, and his minions are active. And I think C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters does a great job of kind of trying to draw out what demonic activity looks like. And it doesn't, in Devin's case, yeah, he had this experience that terrified him, but that's, the devil is very clever. The Bible says that he was the most clever of all. The serpent was the most clever of all the creatures that God had made, and he operates in different ways. As far as Luther's experiences, yeah, I mean, Luther was a man greatly used by God, so it doesn't surprise me that he had those kinds of very intense encounters with the demonic.
So you're actually...
Can I mention something quick?
Go ahead.
I think this is Towser. He said, Satan, like a fisher, baits his hook according to the appetite of the fish. However, this is my addition. However, God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, calling us to be fishers of men. I would emphasize that our own sinfulness oftentimes, wherever your weaknesses are, say you like gossiping or you have issues with lust, you know, Satan is very clever in terms of baiting the hook according to our appetites. So we have to be aware of that also.
Yes, and what I was asking Jeremy on the heels of what he just said, so when you say that you could readily understand, especially since the role that Luther played was monumental in the uncovering of the gospel that Rome had hidden through their lies, heresies, blasphemies, superstitions, and idolatry for centuries, that Luther was a person at a pivotal point in history that God used to restore the gospel to the church. Do you think that perhaps because of the uniqueness of someone like him, that these manifestations were actually visibly seen manifestations of Satan?
I think it's possible, but I, you know, I wouldn't know where to point to in scripture to say, you know, we can't say, you know, conclusively, but I think it's possible. And I think there are, it's not just a mental and a psychological thing. I think the devil can, there's spiritual oppression that can cross over into, you know, the physical also.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to go to our final break right now. And if you have a question of your own, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
It's such
a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And we want to thank CVBBS.com for paying for, in part, the upcoming Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon. If you are a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to our next biannual free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, featuring for the very first time ever our keynote speaker, Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reform Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. On top of your admission being free and your lunch being free, and your fun time of rest and relaxation and fellowship and edification by Dr. Beakey's message, all being for free, everyone in attendance will receive a very heavy sack of free, brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, absolutely free. So send me a registration if you'd like to attend, absolutely free, to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. I'd also like to thank for being partially responsible, not only for the Pastor's Luncheon, but this program in general. I'd like to thank my dear friend Dan P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law of the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, call Dan's office, no matter where you live in the United States, at his toll-free number, 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And please mention to Dan Buttafuoco that you heard about his law firm on Buttafuoco & Associates on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT or 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And we are now back with Devin Crawford, who has been discussing his journey out from the occult and into the saving embrace of Christ Jesus. We've also had on the program his pastor, who's been a guest on this program before, Jeremy Brandenburg of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation. And Pastor Jeremy, any follow-up questions that you care to ask Devin?
Yeah, one last question. So basically, Devin, after you became a Christian, everything was great. You had no troubles, and the rest of your life has been a cakewalk, right?
That's the best way to sum it up. As Joel Osteen says, live your best life now. No, yeah. It's definitely been a it's really hard being a Christian. It's not for the weak or the faint-hearted. it's definitely very challenging. And you know, as God reveals the sin in your life more and more, you just realize how desperately you need Christ and how wicked you really are. You know, imagine God, if God unleashed and revealed to us all of how sinful we are all at once, we would fall to the ground. Maybe we would, you know, melt into a pile of nothingness.
But thankfully, he doesn't do that.
Amen.
He slowly, over time, reveals our sin to us. And it's the sanctification process of making us more like Christ Jesus and conforming us to his image. And it's a glorious thing that we're adopted as sons and heirs, sons and daughters. Daughters also are referenced in when Christ calls them sons, that we are heirs to his kingdom. And in that sense, Jesus Christ is like our elder brother. And we have the same rights to the Father as Jesus Christ did when he was in the flesh on the earth. And it's a glorious thing that we can have communion with our Trinitarian God.
And let me clarify something that you said, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, when you said Christianity is not for the weak. Well, in one very powerful sense, it is for the weak if we acknowledge our weakness and put our trust in Christ and his power and strength.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm trying to emphasize that it's not for the faint-hearted, people that give up easily.
Right, right. Yeah, people who want to remain.
Or people that are trying to find the easy path. Or right. Christ, following Christ is not easy. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. You're going to lose family members. You're going to have disputes. You're going to have so many conflicts. And you need to be truly born again to withstand against them.
Yes. And if a person who has been saved, especially for a long time, has never experienced conflict. It is likely and possibly at least due to the fact that they are not clearly declaring the true biblical message. Very rarely does somebody who is actively involved in declaring Christ and Him crucified, very rarely does such a person go unscathed in this world.
Yes.
And Pastor Jeremy, before we run out of time, why don't you conclude with some words of counsel and perhaps edification to our listeners?
Well, yeah, I would say that, you know, Devin has a powerful testimony, but biblically, and I know Devin knows this and you know this, Chris, but biblically, every Christian's testimony is the same in the sense that we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. Just because Devin had, a scarier life and had some deep troubles, we were all in deep trouble. And apart from the intervention of God in our lives by the Holy Spirit, when we hear the word and we respond, that's the Holy Spirit working in our lives to draw us to Jesus Christ. And so you don't need to seek after a dramatic testimony, because every believer was dead and they've been made alive. And our hope is that we are already even seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Ephesians that all of the principalities and powers, so there are demons, there are demonic forces that, like we talked about, can attack believers, will attack believers, will attack the church. It's even, you know, really, I think once we're in glory, we'll have a fuller understanding, but we won't really care anymore because we'll be with Jesus and Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. But the thing to know as a Christian is that all of these things are under the power of the Lord Jesus, who is our Savior. And so we're protected. If you're not a Christian, then you are in danger. And you should know that there's no middle ground, and you need to turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and come into His protection and His almighty care. I love the part of the catechism that where we talk about Jesus as King, how He has conquered and subdued us to Himself, because that is what every one of us needs, and it's a glorious thing. And I'm so thankful for Devin. I love you, brother, and I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done in your life and what He's going to continue to do in your life for all the years He will bless you with to come.
Amen. And just out of curiosity, I would love to hear your own thoughts, since you have attended, both of you have attended the pastor's luncheons in the past. We'll start with you, Pastor Jeremy. What do you have to say about your experience? And then, Devin, you could conclude the program with your own words.
It's great fellowship, it's great teaching, and it's a lot of books, so I don't know why anyone who could go would miss out on it. So I am looking forward to hearing Pastor Joel Beakey.
And you, Devin?
Yeah, I really enjoy Chris's conferences. There's lots of resources that are provided, and the Bible Society came one time, Buttafuoco.
The Historical Bible Society, yes.
Historical Bible Society, and they had a lot of resources. They had a book that I really admire. It's of the genealogies, and
yes,
it's I forget which book it came out of. It might have been the King James Version.
Yes, the original 1611 King James Version.
Yeah, the 1611, and it's an amazing transcribed genealogy the whole way from Adam and Eve to Christ, and it's really cool how the elder authors throughout history, you know, were very artistic in mindset, and God gave them those sort of gifts, and it's definitely a treasured possession, and there's tons of resources that you can get and knowledge and wisdom that you can gain from others and hearing others speak and their own testimonies. And
we're out of time, brother. So I want to remind our listeners of the website for Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, RedeemerOPC.org, RedeemerOPC.org. You can get Devin Crawford's book, Prayers, Proverbs, and Meditations from My New Life in Jesus, at Amazon.com. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.